Hey, it's Brie Bagwell with your Only Vans recap. And today, Colt Wankini showed up in his van straight from Terlingua, Texas. And we talked about everything from real scorpions crawling across his face to touring in a van and staying on public lands, where I exaggerate how many times I've stayed in a tent on the road. I totally bomb a story about how a town right by where I'm from was renamed in the 50s. True Story is an NBC radio game show called Truth or Consequences challenged any town to rename itself after the show in exchange for broadcasting its 10th anniversary episode live. Hot Springs, New Mexico is now Truth or Consequences. We talk about how we both love the quirky town of Jerome, Arizona, and the winery I couldn't remember was Caduceus Cellars, owned by Maynard James Keenan of the band Tool. My apologies to my darling friend Greta, who I refer to as Blue Edmondson's wife, and she is that too. But thanks for letting us stay at Base Camp Terlingua in the teepees, and the coffee shop I love there in Terlingua is called Vinga. Anyway, me and Colt did finally talk about his new project, the Solitario Tapes. Solitario Tapes. I call it Solitario Tapes. Kyle, edit that out. Perhaps influenced by the creative act by Rick Rubin. Read it if you haven't. Since then, he's released No Muro, a song about the border wall potentially being built through Big Bend. Go find Colt Wankini at Colt Wayne Music. Wayne has a Y in it. Everywhere you listen, and go watch that music video of 80,000 pounds of pain. Enjoy. Hey, y'all, it's Brie Bagwell. I want to invite you to join me August 12th through 16th in Red River, New Mexico for 8750 Music Festival. This boutique festival features 4 days and 4 nights of outstanding musical performances across 5 venues and includes a barbecue cook-off and a red and a green chili cook-off. 3-day passes are on sale now, and your ticket gets you into every show of the festival and includes 2 free meals. You can get tickets, sign up to compete in the cook-off, and learn more at 8750festival.com. That's 8750festival.com. And use coupon OnlyVans. That's OnlyVans, all caps, no space at checkout to get $10 off your 3-day pass. 8750 Festival, adjust your altitude. By the way, me and producer Kyle, we're both playing at the festival, so you can come see us there.
And a lot of times I feel like, at least for me, if I don't, I get like creatively stagnant. Like it's like there's like some kind of block that happens. And the second I release something or do whatever, it kind of opens up. It's like you get like creatively constipated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it opens up, and then it kind of, you know, some new stuff can kind of go in. You can not think about that stuff anymore. Keep your antenna clean, you know?
Yeah. Hey, everybody, this is Brie Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in the van. Well, this is really fun because Colt Wankini is here because I don't really know that much about you.
Yeah.
And you're kind of a international man of mystery. Do you do that on purpose?
No, I think I'm just really bad at promoting.
That's perfect. Yeah. Well, I don't like it either, but I think you're great at it. Like what you've been posting, the videos of you singing and stuff, I think you've been really doing a great job.
I'm trying to get better at it.
It's not fun.
I'm trying to find my way to do it, because I'm getting hammered by people to do more online stuff.
Yeah, but
I love playing live so much that all my focus just goes on. I mean, I love playing. I love playing. So
yeah,
all my focus kind of goes on just gigs and then playing solo is so easy because you can just kind of scoop gigs as you go. You know? So.
That's nice. You travel. I love your van out there.
Georgina.
She has a name.
Yeah, Georgina. Okay. Clementine Ophelia Jones.
Oh, my gosh.
The third. The showboat. The hell bitch.
And you were just out there with your feet out the window. Like, you look like a... He said you came from Terlingua. Do you live in Terlingua?
Mm-hmm.
Shut your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I want to live there so bad.
It's pretty... It's a different thing, but it's... I mean, yeah, that place... I have a very special relationship with that place. I love that area very much.
It's the best.
Yeah.
There's something really magical about it.
Well, I got to where I was doing so much writing out there when I was out there that I was like, we just need to have this maybe be at least part-time home base. And then the community I have out there is, I just love... I love Terlingua, but the whole region, the whole Big Bend region is super special. I love the whole thing. And then you have, you know, northern Mexico right there. So it's, there's this, always this sense of like untamed, like wildness in the air that you can kind of get drunk off of. And there's songs all over the place out there. It's, yeah, I mean, that's, I'd write a ton. I mean, yeah, it's got to where I was writing so much out here. I was like, dude, this is a spot for you. So
that is so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We went and stayed there. Our friend's wife, Greta, she owns all those teepees out there.
Oh, okay.
You know Greta? She married to Blue Edmondson.
I might, if I saw her. I'm bad with names a lot of times.
Yeah, she's incredible. They have that new coffee shop place there, the big white building. I don't know. I'm doing a bad job. Kyle headed this out.
I don't know.
Don't worry. We love to go down there. And then I'm from New Mexico, so we kind of just
Where?
A little. From Las Cruces.
Oh, nice.
Do you know? Do you go through there ever?
Yeah, I was through there the other day. I went to Truth or Consequences for a couple of days.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You didn't call? You didn't write? You didn't tell me?
I did. You know,
Brie Bagwell?
I was just focusing on those springs and Truth or Consequences, I guess. It was just
yeah.
Fun. And then I went to Silver City after that. That was pretty cool.
You did?
Oh, yeah. New Mexico's great.
New Mexico is so underrated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We like it that way.
Yeah, I was about to say, keep it underrated, please. Yeah. For, you know.
It's so lovely. So TRC, I thought when I was little, it was TIER, like TRC.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought that was the name of it. And I remember when I started to learn how to read, it said T or C.
Yeah.
And it was named, I guess they had some sort of competition where you could name the city and somebody named it Truth or Consequences. So mm-hmm. I didn't know the history of that. But anyway, very cool place. Did you go to the hot springs there?
Oh, yeah. Because I knew, because basically since I've been in West Texas, it was just like I have like this house I'm building and then all that and then writing. And then I built out I got a tiny little camper that I was turning into a studio. It was just like nonstop. And then I knew that once I left there, it was about to be just a crazy whirlwind. So I had a few days kind of set aside. So yeah, I just went out there and like soaked until my brain was like mush.
That is.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It's a really magical place.
Oh, yeah, it's great. All of New Mexico.
All of
Las Vegas, New Mexico. That's my favorite hot springs in Las Vegas.
What is the name of the hot springs? Do I know this?
Montezuma. The Montezuma Hot Springs.
Okay, been there.
Oh, dude, it's insane. It's I think he was a king, like a German king in like the late 1800s, built a freaking castle out there. That now it's a college, but right at the base of this German castle in the middle of New Mexico, there's these hot springs that are like incredible. Yeah, it's like three-tiered. Like the top one's called the Lobster Pot, and it's like so hot that you can't even.
Yeah.
It's insane. The first time I put my foot in, and I was like, "There's no way a human being can like it's. This is insane." And there was this old Navajo guy that was in the shadows, and he like leaned out, and he's like, "I'll show you how to do it." And I was like, "All right, dude." And he's because it's so hot. Like if you move, the friction of your skin across the water, I mean, it's, you'll have like a panic attack. So he's like, you just get in, you like commit that you're getting in, and then you don't move. So I like got in, and then all these people kept coming by that were like locals. They were like, holy shit, dude, you're like, and I'm just like boiling in this thing. I was like, I will show you the way. But yeah.
That's incredible. But, wow. I learned something about my home state that I didn't know. Or maybe.
Go check them out.
I will. We go to Santa Fe-ish a lot around all that area. We just love it so much. But my boyfriend's grandparents bought a house there in the 50s. That's
where?
So, right off in Santa Fe.
Oh, nice.
Right off the plaza. And so we've just had so many cool experiences. And we met the mayor of the Santa Clara Pueblo. And we got to go watch one of the traditional dances last time we were there.
Cool.
And it was just magic.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I lived in Taos for a while too.
And you did?
Yeah, I like when COVID happened, I went on a motorcycle trip. That was actually the first time I went to Trilingua because I had my brother was living out there and he ran a river guiding company. And we did a motorcycle trip to New Mexico and then swung back around. And I finally came and saw him out there because, like, classic thing out there is always like, it's too far, like, whatever. And then I finally went and I was like, dude, what are you doing out here? This is incredible. But it was like right when COVID started and I realized that I was coming back to Austin. I was living in Austin at the time. And I started kind of freaking out because I was like, I don't even know what I'm going back for. Like, everything's closed, you know, whatever. So he called a buddy in Taos and was like, hey, do you need any help? And they were like, yeah, absolutely. So I went to Taos and river guided like that whole first summer of COVID and was just living in Georgina, and I had my Harley in the back, so I was ripping the Harley all around North New Mexico, going to Abiquiu and, you know, all
that loop there is so...
Oh, it's so rad. And the Ghost Ranch, like, what's her name? The at the Ghost Ranch, what's that lady's name? The painter.
Oh, George O'Keefe.
George O'Keefe, yeah. All that stuff.
Like, what's her name? I was like, Aunt Susie? Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I thought you were talking about my crazy family.
George O'Keefe, yeah. And the Chama, and I love all that.
Also, my Aunt Susie's not crazy. Sorry, Aunt Susie. I have to apologize. That's not... that is so awesome. So where are you from originally, then?
I claim San Saba County and Northeast Texas, because my family's from San Saba County, like both sides... for a long, long, long time. There's a gravestone with the Keeney last name from like the 1830s. So that's been there a long time. And then my folks split when I was really young, and then we moved all over the state, and my mom got remarried, and we moved to Northeast Texas and like all these tiny towns around Tyler.
Yeah.
Tyler, Texas.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Familiar with that area. I just played White House, Texas not too long ago.
Oh, yeah. Patrick Mahomes, come on, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
That's right. That's fun. We don't play in East Texas as much as we used to. Do you go to play there a decent
Yeah, amount? There's a place in Ben Wheeler called...
Yeah, we played the store. What's it called? But anyway, I love Ben Wheeler. It's mm-hmm. super cute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. And then where's your next adventures taking you on the road?
I guess in late April, I'm going up to Montana for a run of gigs, and then I might go to Key West, but the main thing is I need a new record, and that's the main, people are like hammering me. So I was basically on the road for like 2 years straight, like nonstop. And I'm like, you're fine. You don't need to go anywhere. You need to cut a record. And
well, they need to be patient, because you just released the last one. It was last year.
Yeah. But that even that was old. I mean, I write so damn much. That's why I write faster than I release stuff. I that's just what I do.
It's also expensive.
It's expensive. Yeah. People are like, why don't you do
why
this?
Why don't you make a record?
Yeah. And they're like,
I'm sorry, do you have like, $40,000?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. And then that's not even considering like the marketing budget and all this kind of stuff. That's like, dude, it's like, you know, it's a damn war zone out there.
It is. And to cut through, even for live shows, I'm having to spend hundreds of dollars on advertising for our Green Hall show the other night. It was
like boosting stuff online.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's for like one gig. You know, it's
when you play
thing.
As much as we do, it adds up real fast.
Yeah, absolutely. And then like every other day, the damn algorithm changes and you're like, dude, like the other day I was getting thousands of views, now, like, you know, whatever. So then I don't promote and I just play teeny tiny gigs around places that I think are cool. That's what ends up happening.
That makes me so happy. Like the fact that you're going to Montana. I mean, Montana in the summertime, the first time I played there changed my life. I didn't know about Montana in the summertime, and I was like 25, and I was just like, this place, I drank out of a stream, but I don't know. It was just, I just loved it. I saw you were there. You went there pretty recently,
this
too.
Summer, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're around Bozeman, all that stuff. It's super great, but one place nobody talks about, it's not as like mountainous, but like eastern Montana,
mm-hmm.
like they know how to get down.
For
it's,
real?
Oh, dude. I love it. Like, I was playing in Miles City, Montana, and that's where I didn't even know, like, all this stuff kind of like lined up, but I was reading the first book of Lonesome Dove, which is Dead Man's Walk. And so I'm reading that, go to Miles City, and realize that was the Miles City is where those cattle, one of those cattle trails would end. So the biggest bronc. I think the biggest bronc sale in the world is in Miles City, Montana. So these are some cowboys.
Yeah.
I mean, it is cowboy as cowboy gets. So I'm playing with all these folks, and just the vibe, I mean, the saloon that we were in, like I was living in the damn brothel upstairs. It was a brothel back in the day that they converted into apartment. So that's where, like, I was there for like 3 days playing. It just, the whole vibe just reeks of like the old world. It's really, really damn cool.
That is amazing. And that's how I feel about, you know, music being able to take me places. It's like I get to get paid travel, and I want to go learn about the places. I just did the Dakotas and
where?
Wisconsin. I did South Dakota. Hold on.
We're in the Black Hills?
Yes. So then I was reading all the books about Crazy Horse just because I wanted
to go to the monument.
I went to the monument.
Dude,
I know.
It's crazy. And it's amazing.
It's amazing. And I like to just learn about the places that I'm in. And I get to do that because of music. And it's my favorite thing in the whole world to just, you know, I'm driving, looking out the window, and there's Buffalo by the road. And it's just,
and seeing
crazy.
Like the real deal prairie, like once you get out of the Black Hills and like where you're like, this is like, the prairie. I mean, where
it is the
looks
prairie.
Like the, I mean, it looks like the. Apparently, there's people that get ocean sickness out there because it is so similar to, like, ocean waves, like with the grain rolling and the hills. Like people will get nauseated because it's so similar to the. It's just, I don't know, very magical.
I remember being like, "Oh, this is the amber waves of grain that we're speaking of."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so fun to talk about this because do you know Leif in Montana? Sorry.
Leif
is the promoter in Montana that we work with. He got us shows at the Barn Immigrant, Old Saloon and Immigrant. Anyway, Paul and I were supposed to go do a run in Montana this summer, and he was going to really help us out up there. And I got a big money show in Texas, so I had to cancel my Montana trip, and I'm still really upset about it. But anyway, I need to connect y'all because he's incredible. But I mean, not that you need it or anything. But
I need it. I'll take whatever I can get. I got some help, but I mean, I'll take.
He got
whatever.
Me the Life in the Divide in Bozeman and all of that. You know,
nice.
All
those places people keep telling me I need to play. They're like, this is where you belong or whatever. You need to play here. But I also I had bands forever, my whole career, I guess. And then about 2.5 years ago, I was going to quit music. I moved to West Texas to quit music, and I was going to get a trade. I was going to figure out what trade I was going to do. I was like considering just go to school, do a trade school for welding or whatever. And then I went out to West Texas, and somehow in that, my brother was like, actually what you should do is like start playing solo and then go on tour. And it like blew my mind. I was like, oh crap, dude. So then I started doing the solo thing and started actually building a show with that. And then what I've fallen in love with is like these small, especially if like what I'm doing, like road dogging alone, like if you have your stuff built out, like if you hang out in the West, like there's so much public lands, there's so many of these small towns that are like hugging up next to parks and all this stuff that you can, I mean, these little bitty towns where it's just the most fun and stories you're picking up on, and like people that are really actually from like the region, like you're really getting to soak all that stuff up. And you can do it with a band for sure, but playing solo, it's like, if people like what you're doing and it's so like intimate, like it's like, you know, it's just one person. It's like, you can kind of get the keys to like a community, like right there at the get, like they're like, well, come over to mama's house. You're immediately like sucked into this, you know, their environment, which to me is kind of that whole troubadour kind of thing. That's like the whole, you know, it's like, you know, swimming through stories and finding songs out of it and meeting people that you're like, this is absolutely bananas. I can't even believe I'm like listening to this person talk about whatever, you know.
Totally. And that is a shift for me too, because my dream was always to play with a touring band, and I did. And I was just talking to Aaron about, you know, we used to do 15, 20 full band shows a month, and it was like really, it was a lot. And and I still have a band, but we're doing, you know, between 5 and 10 a month. And this month it's 5, I think.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the shows are solo acoustic shows that really fill my cup. And then I get to be in a different way.
I think a balance is where it's at. Cause it also, doing the solo thing, it just makes you such a better performer. Like you just have to engage in a different way. Cause you can hide behind a band. You can not be hitting, you can half-ass it a little more than if it's just you. It's like, you have to be on, like you have, you know, and engaged. And once you get your, you know, get the whole thing to where everything's just tied in and, you know, you never let them go. It's just a totally different kind of thing.
It's my favorite dance and I love it. And you find the stories that work and you find, and then I think people really appreciate if you're interested in their area and their history, which I genuinely am. And, you know, we went to like Bisbee and we met a random guy who he's invited us up to his rooftop, and then he said, hit that switch. And I hit the switch, and across the road on the mountain, he had a big giant Batman projected. Oh, Batman, the bat signal projected.
That sounds about like Bisbee. That's awesome.
And you never would have, you know, not that I wouldn't have those experiences with the band, but you're always loading out. And then by the time you load out, you're tired and you're going to the hotel and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can throw my guitar on my back and be done. And that's that's kind of a beautiful thing. And so I just did I'm doing another Arizona run. And then in the fall we do a, you know, Midwest run. And I'm just take my tour manager, my dog, and this thing. And like you said, you can stay free so many places, or hotels are outrageous now, and I can, we can just sleep on here or sleep in a tent or whatever, and it works out
absolutely
nicely.
I think it adds to it. Like, I mean, once you get a ton of people involved, it's like, you know, it's hard to do that kind of thing. But if you have like a little crew, it just adds to the whole. Yeah, man. Like, yeah, you talk about Arizona. It's like going, I had a gig in Sedona.
Oh.
I go, and then on my way to Sedona, I'm going from Prescott, and I find Jerome, and I'm like, what is, you know what I mean? So then I played one, my gig in Sedona, and then stayed for a week. This lady, like, I started talking to her, and I was like, what the, where am I? Like, what the hell is this place? And she realized how much I liked it, so she gave me a deal on her, like, bed and breakfast, and I stayed for, like, a week and just, like, wrote and hung out in Jerome, and, like...
Jerome is, like, incredible.
If I had a band, I would never be able to do that.
Right.
You'd never, they'd be like, I'm tired, or I need my, whatever.
Kids,
you
know? Yeah.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays, and my whole family was, like, obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellenbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma. Side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly. Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo, and tell them Breen Whiskey sent you. Oh, my gosh. Jerome is such a magical place.
It's so rad.
It is so rad. Mm. All that whole area. I've never played in Sedona, but I met some crazy people in Jerome. It's a love, like, in a lovely way. Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. If you can go to Jerome, and then they had Kaleidoscope Museum. Is that in Jerome? Or am I thinking
of... I don't know if I saw
that
one. There's a bunch of little museums and stuff that some stuff's closed, and they're kind of just doing whatever the hell they want. So, like...
You can do anything you want in Jerome.
Yeah.
And walking, and beautiful. Okay, we have the same love for Jerome. I haven't talked to you about anything that I have wanted to talk to you about yet, and it's better than I could have imagined.
Oh, good.
Well, you know, when you, a lot of times when I have people on this podcast, I've known them for 10 years or some, so I don't really get nervous, but today I was a little bit nervous, and then I was looking through your stuff. I think me and this guy are going to be good friends.
Like, good.
This isn't going to be tough at all, but if all else fails, I could talk to you for 30 minutes about... your Devil's River project. How do you pronounce it?
Oh yeah, what?
Because, well, I would say like solitario.
Yeah, yeah. But there, it's called solitario.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But
yeah.
Yeah, it's Spanish solitario. But yeah,
that is such a cool project. So if you haven't listened to it, make sure you go do it. It's a mix of, you know, spoken word. I don't know if I'm doing a good job here. Spoken word mixed with songs, and it's just every other track. And I drove home from Denton the other day. The band, I said, I need to drive. I want to listen to this record. And I had the best time listening to it. It was very cool. It seems like that's something that you've, and now knowing more about you, that you've actually done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and my boyfriend did it, and he said it was wild.
Good.
Just going down the Devil's River.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that's so cool. And did you write that while you were doing that, or later, or how did that whole thing?
It was afterwards. So we, like I said, I was river guiding. Me and my bud take a trip. I think there was 10 people on the trip, and it was a 4-day overnight. We're running the Devils, super great. It's the last day or the last night before the next day we're like loading out or whatever. And that river is really weird because it's such tight walls, and then the Lake Amistad will if I cuss, I'm sorry.
No, you can cuss on here.
Okay, I don't mean to. But
say sorry to my mom, and then you're fine. No, I'm kidding.
I'm sorry, Bree's mom. I'm not trying to cuss. I don't want to cuss, but sometimes it slips. But Lake Amistad will screw up the weather system. So you'll think you'll know what's going on weather-wise, and Amistad will just throw just things into haywire. So it's the last night, and my buddy Matt, he's been guiding and outfitting. Like, he's ran the damn Yukon Melt in Alaska. I mean, he is a outfitter. He has seen it all. This storm blows in, and this river starts turning chocolatey, and we start seeing all this debris come down. And, I mean, it's like 50-mile-an-hour winds. And he looks at me, and he's like, this is, like, the worst storm I've ever been in. So we're telling all these people, we're like, get to high ground. We get them all in their tents. And we're like, stay in your tent. Like, it was raining so hard we couldn't see. So we're dragging these boats out of this river as fast as we can because they're filling up with water because it's raining so hard. And it was all, we had this bright idea that we were going to bring cut down on how much weight we were carrying. So we had we brought hammocks. That was our that was our whole thing. So the hammocks don't work. We can't go anywhere. Yeah, absolutely. There was this I'll never forget it, dude. There was this late 60s guy from Louisiana. He was so damn cool. So we're loading out all these boats, getting all this stuff. It's pouring rain, and we're like, this bitch is about to flash. Like, this is a bad situation. So I start hearing this yelling coming from the tree line. And I'm like, what the hell? So I run back to go figure it out. Well, this old timer from Louisiana had climbed up in his hammock and put a tarp over it so that he could get out of the rain or whatever. And the damn hammock slipped down. So he was just stuck in this bag and couldn't get out. It was just pouring rain. So I like open up this thing. I'm like, dude, you got to get out of here and come with us. We built a show. He was in his underwear. So he's that's like old timers in his underwear. And he's like, this is one of the best damn trips I've ever been on. Like, we're all huddled up. I mean, it's like as bad. I mean, we're both, me and Matt are watching this river and we're like, dude, this is freaking, we're in a bad situation. And this old timer's just laughing. He's like, well, we used to do coon hunts and get caught in shit like this all the time, boys. This is great. And he's just sitting in his underwear. But so that all happens. And then the next day, everyone's like, Colt, you should write a song about that storm or whatever. So it started out as me trying to write a song. And the more I started writing it, I was like, oh, this is like a, this is a poem.
It's a tale.
Yeah. It just turned into, I mean, didn't even end up being about the storm. So I like had that poem written, and then I had all these songs, and I wanted to cut. I just wanted to cut like a demo, like demos, like for a record or whatever. And there's this little church in Terlingua, so we get all that set up. And I, while all this is going on, have you read Rick Rubin's
Creative Magic or yeah. Creative? But I know
you know what I'm talking about. I can't remember the title either.
Sorry,
it's got
Rick.
The circle with the dot on it.
Yeah.
So I'm reading this while I've wrote this poem and I have all this stuff. Me and my buddy, shout out to Bill Palmer. Bill Palmer sets up all of his gear. So I'm reading this while we're doing it and perform the songs. And then I was like, you know, I'm just going to read this poem I'm just going to have, you know, why not? You know, so I read this poem. Reading Rick Rubin this whole time. And Rick Rubin's, read that book, a lot of it is like, you know, whatever you're working on, there's like a overarching subconscious, like connectivity that you're not even like aware of as a creator that's going on. So my mind's kind of in that thing. So we start mixing it and cutting it and doing all this kind of stuff. And I think Palmer like hit a button on accident. So we're listening to a song and then it cut over to a section of the poem. And I was like, hold on. I was like, cut that here, put that there. I was like, play that. And I was like, it's a fucking record. Like, it's a damn concept album. I was like, this whole thing is, it's going to be a concept record. And every song, it all works together. Like, it all, you know, so it was a total like.
Yeah, the songs flow right with the words in the poems. Yep. And oh my gosh.
Yep.
That is so awesome. I'm so glad. And then I love how he's, you know, like, just do it. Sometimes I overthink things to death. And it's like, no, too. You should just release those tapes as they are, just you and a guitar. Like, that's what makes it.
Which I would
super
never
special.
Normally do. Like, right. I mean, even now I'm like, oh, they could be a lot better. But I'm like, dude, I mean, I don't know. Just put out. I mean, what are you doing? You know, just put
I thought
stuff
it was
out.
Very cool.
Good.
And also
good.
In the age of everything being overproduced and overtuned and over, I think that like raw and real is what makes it.
Yeah.
Super cool
well, good.
And accessible.
Good.
You know, good. Like, I'm like, this person is freaking cool.
Good.
I love that. So you already have the next one written. Is that what I'm hearing from you? You're like me. I'm like, I have the next three records written. I'm just trying to get it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But this one is going to be like a full. Yeah, I was just on the road for so long that I quit worrying about it, but I kept writing. And then I've workshopped all this stuff on the road so much that I know for a fact what works and what doesn't, you know what I mean? Like what, where people afterwards are like, where do I find that? And I'm like, it's, I don't have it recorded. And they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, okay, dude, okay.
But for the low price of $5,000, you can have this.
Yeah.
You can have
producer credit.
I'm pretty
lucky, man. I got a lot of really great connections of folks that have really helped me out. And we're starting to, this next month is me figuring out how to make it boom and be a thing. And I don't think it's going to, I just need to get focused on it. I just get scatterbrained and,
yeah, well, that's we were all born that way as artists.
Like. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard for me. I don't, something about it, I'm about to re-record a bunch of my old tunes that I don't own the master, so I'm about to re-record a bunch of them. And something about just starting a project that big is really hard for me. Once I get going, then I'm in it. But like taking on a giant task is really hard for me. I'd rather be like, well, I need to go to the grocery store instead, you know, instead of taking on this mountain of an artistic project. But you've motivated me. I'm gonna go record today.
Oh, good.
I'm gonna do it because I have no excuse.
Yeah.
You gotta get the art out there.
Oh yeah. It's the whole. I mean, it's just got you know. And a lot of times I feel like, at least for me, if I don't, I get like creatively stagnant. Like it's like there's like some kind of block that happens. And the second I release something or do whatever, it kind of opens up. It's like you get like creatively constipated. You know what I mean?
And then it
opens up and then it kind of, you know, some new stuff can kind of go and you can not think about that stuff anymore. Keep your antenna clean, you know?
Yeah, I love that. Whenever I take a break from writing, sometimes I feel like that's important. My brain is still, that muscle is still so used to being used that I feel like I'm exploding with songs because I've exercised that muscle so much that I don't even feel like I can take a break because my muscle doesn't know how to stop.
Oh, yeah.
Writing.
Oh,
do you feel like that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It makes me insane a lot of times. But that's why it's, for me, it's good to just have my structure. Like, you know, my time, like, I really like the morning. Like if I have it locked in, it's like I wake up, I go to the gym or exercise, whatever, come take a shower, get coffee, and then start writing. And hopefully, I mean, my best like rhythm of it, I mean, is what I figured out was out in Terlingua because I'd wake up, I'd do that kind of thing, get my coffee, and then I'd go to the porch and then I'd write. The porch opens at around 10, so I'd try to be there by like 9:30 and then I would write until like 1. And then when I was done with that, it was like, and I mean, everybody in town would be like, they knew where I was from like a certain time. They're like, oh, I see you on the porch. You
can write on the porch without people interrupting, or is that the point? They
can't
interrupt.
It's before anybody really shows. So okay. It changes around noon or 1. That's, and then I'd bounce. But yeah.
Because the last time we went to Terlingua, we hadn't been in a while, and the porch was packed. It was not. It was just different than I remember. Like there's a lot more people there than I remember ever being there.
It just depends on the time of year and what's going on, and the time of day. Because if it's like Sunday, it's going to be booming. Everyone's, especially the locals, are all hanging out and stuff.
But if it's Monday at 10:30, you can go right there.
Oh yeah.
What a magical place to write with that view.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Oh, yeah. There's always a dog to pet.
Absolutely.
How fun is that? Okay, so we're got another record in the works and lots of touring. I do want to talk to you about just the last thing before I let you go. Thanks for coming to me. Well, I had a lot of things that we didn't really get to yet, but can you tell me about that music video? Because 80,000 Pounds of Pain.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
I love music video.
Go watch it. Super proud of this video.
You should be so proud of that video.
Oh, dude, I am. It's so rad. It didn't get its... I still feel like it didn't get its full... It's not just me. It's like the whole crew that I had. Drake Howard, he directed it. Dude, it's so rad. I'm so proud of that thing.
You should be so proud of it. And I think that music videos are a little bit of a lost art. And when people do it and when people do a good job at it, I'm so proud of them because I was hooked from start to finish.
Good.
Really looks good. You look insane. You might haunt me in my dreams.
Yep, that's, I was a demon trucker from hell.
Yes, with the ship wheel.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And is that a real scorpion?
Yes. So
no, no.
So no. I got obsessed with this idea. I built that whole truck myself. I built it out of 2x4s and cardboard, and then went to South San Antonio and there's a semi-truck graveyard in South San Antonio. It's 40 acres of semi-trucks from like the 1930s all the way up until modern that are just stuffed back in this place. So I found this place, took a Sawzall, cut the nose off of a Peterbilt, and then took that and then built backwards off of that thing. So built this whole thing. And then I realized that you can find like phone footage of someone like putting a black light over a scorpion because their exoskeleton glows.
Right.
You can find phone footage, but I scoured the internet and could not find one like artistic, professionally done thing of someone using that imagery. And I was like, I think I got an idea. I think I got a damn good idea. So I had done some carpentry work at a damn, what do you call it? Not a petting zoo, a damn... Where you sell animals or you sell birds and stuff, like a store? Like a animal, yeah, animal store, whatever. I can't think of
a pet store?
Yeah, pet store. Yeah. Pet store. Where you buy snakes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd done some carpentry work at this pet store, so I got to know these folks. So I called them and I was like, all right, I need some scorpions. And they're like, well, we don't have any, but we have a guy that like he's like the scorpion guy. And I was like, dope. So I call him, tell him the idea. And apparently the bigger a scorpion is, the more docile they are. So that's why tech scorpions are mean as shit. Cause they're like little tiny things. They're just like, you know, the bigger they are, they're more docile. I guess they have less predators. So that's why the movies use these huge scorpions. Cause they're basically like, they're just a big bug basically. Like they're just not very, whatever. So this guy shows up. I paid him $100 to come onto the set. And I'm like, hell yeah. So he comes to the set. We have the shot set up. What this guy doesn't tell me is that he's got Parkinson's. So this guy, how you doing, Colt? Shakes my hand. And I was like, and I didn't really think about it until I lay on my back. And then he's holding these scorpions with Parkinson's. And he was like, you need to hold still. I was just like, oh my God, put it on my face. It took so long for those shots because they're crawling over my eye and all this kind of stuff. And it ended up going flawless. That, you know, nothing really happened, but it was just terrifying. And he'd pull them off and he'd be shaking and they're like little pinchers are right here. And I'm like, dude, get it away from me.
Oh,
you know,
because I showed it to Kyle and I was like, do you think this is real? And he was like, no. I was like, me either. But I'm going to ask him because there's a chance with this guy that it's a real scorpion.
It's definitely real. I had
Oh my gosh. Yep. Because it is a giant scorpion. Yeah. And that's why there's no footage of it because the only it's ranchers going with that light in their beds. I mean, I stayed at a ranch one time, you know, and they turned back the sheets with that light. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what are you doing? So we're looking for scorpions. Like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. I got to get in that bed. You're just checking it for scorpions before I get in there. And he was like, oh, they're little, but that's mean as hell.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Holy cow. Well, great job on that video.
Like,
That was incredible. Please go watch it. Like, it is worth your time.
It's a fun video. I like it.
That's so fun. And I always have the creative urge to create a story start to finish and have a vision. And do you know how to do any gunslinging tricks?
I guess. I was in a play in college where I was supposed to, what's it called? An 1889 Nagant. It's a Russian gun.
Oh.
And it's like, I think it's got seven cylinders. And that was like a thing in the play. And I was living in San Marcos and working at the Yellow store. And I mentioned this guy, the kind of gun I was looking for. And this is like a rare, weird gun. Like, no one has this gun. And this guy was like, I have one of those. And I was like, damn, okay. He's like, it's a piece of shit. You can dry fire the hell out of it. I don't care. So he brought it to me in a paper bag.
Safe.
So I had this thing, and then I don't know, I was in my early 20s and wasn't very smart, so I was rehearsing this play at Texas State with this actual pistol, and I was just always like with it, like spin it so I can spin it and stuff. I was, you know, did, you know, I had about 3 months that I had a gun the whole all the time.
Okay,
spinning this thing.
That's incredible. Well, I'm going to do the music video that I have in my head. I just wrote a song about Billy the Kid. I just got the master back. And I have a dream that I do a music video in Las Cruces in Old Mesilla, and cool. I'm doing some gunslinging tricks. So maybe if cool. you're, I can convince you to come down and be in my video, and yeah. we could do some. So I think if you're listening to this, Colt Wayne, my girlfriend said to tell you hi. So you know, if that gives you any idea, they were like, "Hello, tell him hello for us." You're a cool looking man, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, thank you. Is it these New Mexico ladies?
No, they're here in New Braunfels.
New Braunfels.
They were like, "Tell him we said hi."
Well, hello.
Like, well, I haven't met him yet, so I'm not going to say that. But then I'll say it live on the podcast for it to live in eternity. So exciting, and you're touring everywhere. You're going to be playing everywhere. Not right now.
Yeah, that time that'll happen again. But I have got to cut a record. I'm sitting on songs so damn good that I cannot. I have to do it all justice and stay put.
Where are you going to do that project, you know?
I'm trying to... I got my buddies in Seguin, Blue House Studios. Josh Blue is... shout out to Josh. Love him very much. But they were running the 10th Street House in Austin. And that's where him and Eric Burton from the Black Pumas, they're roommates.
Yeah.
So that's like their studio. So that, like, Josh is incredible. And I've been best friends with him for a long time. So that's one possible spot. And then I was calling Sonic Ranch and getting an idea from them out near El Paso.
Oh, yeah.
That's the next month is me being like, how, you know, what they are and what I'll need. And then I'm probably going to go back to Trilingua to my little studio camper and pre-pro the whole album myself, just to be like, just to get everybody on the same page, whoever involved, and make it as efficient as possible.
I do that too. By the time I go in, I know the key, the tempo, the feel, the everything, all the words
are
already.
Otherwise, you know, especially if it's like a high price studio, I mean, they'll carve you a lot. I mean, they'll rake you over the coals, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, that's really interesting to know that there's a really great studio just down the road in Seguin.
He's just starting it out, but okay. It's all, I mean, he does some digital, but it's all reel to reel. Tape, and he knows this stuff. Like, I mean, it's almost like his mind is from like a different era. He knows this shit so well. It's insane.
Analog, baby.
Oh yeah.
Fun.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of what this podcast is. We talk a lot about producers and studios and stuff. So that's exciting that we have another one.
He runs
to
Bruce's
add.
Studio, Bruce Robeson.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he's been drumming for Bruce forever. So.
Right.
He's a bad son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Josh Blue.
I know exactly who he is, and I feel embarrassed that I didn't know about that studio. So that's that's exciting. Oh my gosh! Well, I can't wait. You can build stuff. Can you work on your van? Can you do all of those things?
A little bit. I can do enough. If it gets too far off, I learn. You know, I can learn. I've been learning. You know,
we built our house the inside out with our own two hands, and I really underestimated how good I would be with a nail gun. Like, I'm pretty handy, you know, pretty handy. We did all the shiplap, all the floors, I can seal a bathtub with the best of them.
Good.
But it's, I think working with your hands, I think a lot of musicians, we really like to do stuff like that. But for me, it's really good for my brain to do something where I'm not on my phone, or I'm not, you know, thinking too much about the outside world, and creating stuff like that is, I think it goes hand in hand. I meet a lot of musicians who are like us.
Yeah, and I think it's cool to have, like, you have your own practice or whatever, like you're do whatever medium, I'm an art, you know, a painter, you're a musician or whatever, and then to have like an overarching long-term like artistic thing that you're doing, like building a house, you know, you're getting to just dream up whatever you're wanting and whatever you do out of it. It makes you learn, you know, trades, like whether you want to or not, like, you or at least get somewhat competent in them, which is really, really great. My thing was hanging out with all these old timers in West Texas that they were at retirement age, sitting down having coffee with them, and they can walk you through their whole home and be like, we see all that section's kind of slanted. Well, me and Terry got into the beers about 2 o'clock, and then we realized that we, you know, they can walk you through their whole house. And I just fell in love with that idea of being an old guy and living in the bones of, or living in something I built in my youth. Like, I'm down for that. And the housing market is so ridiculous that I would rather build something out of spite than buy something and pay a mortgage.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's like literally a rebellion. I'm like, no, I'll just live in a van and build a house rather than give y'all $1.
I love that. Yeah. And it is very satisfying. It would be like, okay, we had a good weekend. Let's go buy some boards. Like, yeah, exactly. That's really a fun thing. Okay. Very, very thankful that you came to be on the podcast.
And me too.
Just lastly, I just want to talk about, just because, it's very interesting to me, Aaron and I were talking off the mic about just our versions of success and how it's so strange how it's measured. And a lot of times, you know, people, especially in my world, I feel like if I'm not selling out stadiums, that I'm not successful. And when I was driving through the Dakotas, listening to these books of Crazy Horse and seeing the actual place where, you know, the history of America was made, a lot of just insane things, and getting to go play music and see the world, that to me, that is success. And I just love the experiences of that I get just because I play guitar and write songs. And so,
yeah.
To me, that is successful. And I just wonder if you ever think about that too, or have those moments, or struggle with any of that, or just have anything you want to leave the lovely people who listen to this podcast, because it's a lot of artists and it's a lot of people that are constantly reinventing ourselves or trying hard with social media in a world that we don't necessarily, we have old souls or whatever, you know. It's a weird balance and a weird time to be a artist.
It is. One thing people need to remember, those big shows, a lot of times it doesn't even have anything about to do with your talent. There's damn gatekeeping all over the place in the music industry. So you can't even really worry about that happens, you know. You don't even really have control if that happens or not. Like, the real thing is, like, I mean, people have been doing this stuff for eons, making song and that kind of thing. And if you can connect with community and carve out your own, I mean, we're at an age now where you can carve out your own. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just going to play around, figure out where it hits, and then I'm just going to go back and carve out places I want to see again and just do that over and over. And with the internet, you have, you know, control, certain controls that before it was just they own the studios and they own the radio waves. There ain't shit you can do about it. Now it's, the game is just totally up to you on how to kind of operate with it, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, I just want to be able to travel the world comfortably. That'd be pretty dope.
And I also like good food.
And good food, yeah.
And
yeah.
Good wine.
Yeah.
So that would be, that's the dream. And Colt Wayne Music is your Instagram handle.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that, and you have records all over, everywhere you listen. I checked. Mm-hmm. Y'all can go check those out. I love Beale Street. What a fun song.
Yeah, yeah.
That was,
I wrote
a great...
that with me and Colin Colby, who was... Charlie Crockett's musical director and his bass player for a long time.
That so sounded like a Charlie Crockett themed thing. Like,
yeah.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
And okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
So me and Colin co-wrote that. Shout out to Coco. Love you, buddy. Yeah, that's one of the only songs I've ever co-wrote with anybody, but
yeah, I'm not. Yeah. I don't co-write a lot either, but that's
I want
that's
to
so
more.
Great.
I think it'd be good. Gets you, yeah. Like, working with him is just getting me out of, like, pattern. You know, somebody else has their own pattern that you're in. If you, like, collide those two things, you can make something interesting. So,
well, if you're interested, we should try that sometime.
Yeah, why not? I'd love to. I'm open to it more. Like, more and more. It'd be fun. It'd be fun.
You have a great, great voice, incredible style, really cool dude. I'm so glad we got to chit-chat today.
Same to you. Yes, ma'am. Me too.
Safe travels in Gertrude, what's her name?
Georgina. Clementine Ophelia Jones. A lot of people are unaware that George Jones from Beaumont had a sister, right? So George Jones went to Nashville to be a country singer. His sister, Georgina, she moved to New Orleans, and she was apparently this incredible blues singer. And she got mixed in with drugs and kind of the darker side of things, and got mixed in with the voodoo, and a witch cast a spell on her and turned her into a 2001 gray Dodge Ram van, and I bought her. So I drive around in George Jones's sister. They got turned into a van.
I love this. That's the perfect way to end this podcast, everybody. Colt Wayne, you are a gem. I'm so glad we
Same
met.
To you.
Stay
Me
away
too.
From scorpions, or don't.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yay. Thanks, friend.
Thank y'all.
Adios.
I'm a white line titan. I'm dragging weight all night, and I won't stop till I arrive. I'm driving 80,000 pounds of pain. And I'm a white line titan from the Texas island.